this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. We've got a great episode today. It's called Toxic Team Culture. And are you a part of the problem? Ooh, yeah, we'll see about that. I am Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am one of your hosts. I'm a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and a clinical researcher. I am here with my co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader, and an author as of maybe a few months after this comes out. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And Martin, this topic is probably the biggest complaint that we hear in our live courses, in our online courses, and talking with dentists around the world when we're speaking, toxic team culture. I mean, this is what makes people honestly want to just throw in the towel and quit dentistry.
Yeah.
And you are the expert on this. You are the person in my mind that knows this better than anybody.
Well, thank you for that. I think it's because, like anything else in life, I've misstepped so many times. And then, then once you have the opportunity to be able to interact with, hundreds of teams as a third party, as an observer, then you don't have the emotional component there. And not only does that help you interpret what's actually going on, it can help guide through solutions without that emotional component to really see, okay, is this working or not? Why is this working or not? And those kind of things. So I think the biggest thing to start with is just the idea that this is not something you have to put up with, because we're talking about this before we hit record. I can't, nor we can't answer this question for you, but you got to ask yourself the question, which is, if I have somebody on my team that's toxic, and I'm also at the same time worried about replacing them, is it worth dealing with the toxicity? Even if I'm going to be down a warm body by 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, you got to ask yourself, which pain is greater? And
well, I think a lot of dentists, the pain is greater to hire the person.
Yeah.
Which is such an important reason why we should have systems in place to do that, or we should pay someone to do it or delegate this. Because I know, and again, I'm guilty of this too. We've done this at my practice where we have someone and they're there for years. And when we finally get rid of them, we're like, God, why didn't we do this 2 years ago when, he or she was having all these problems and the red flags were there. I mean, I'm sure there's also many people that have been in like romantic relationships like too, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like we get comfortable with somebody and it's easier to have someone than it is to not have someone. And I think it's the same way in the dental practice.
And I would argue something else, which is this. Don't think everybody else in the practice doesn't notice.
So true.
That you're putting up with this stuff. And so what you're doing, either indirectly or directly, is creating a toxic culture because you're showing people that the toxicity is acceptable.
God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
As we were preparing for this today was talk about these unmeasurable numbers, right? Unmeasurable things. And this is one of them, is having someone that's toxic, that person ruining everybody else's day.
Yeah.
And now exactly what you're saying, that person showing someone that you don't have to be a team player. You don't have to show up on time.
Yeah.
You don't have to actually get the patient scheduled for their hygiene as they're walking out the front door. Oh, well, if he or she's doing that, then why do I need to do that? And you're bringing everybody down on the team. And the efficiency goes down. People aren't happy. You're going to have more turnover. I mean, we talk about this a lot, that a lot of dental professionals say, oh, no one wants to work anymore. But people don't want to work in toxic cultures.
Correct. Correct. And I will also then extend with what we're talking about right now, which is this. We've set up this atmosphere that it's okay to be tardy, or it's okay to forget the, whatever instrument for the eighth time, because nothing's ever done about it. And when I say nothing's ever done about it, I don't necessarily mean formal reprimands, because that may or may not be appropriate. But there's so many, even of my clients, where we talk about a challenging situation, and my question is, okay, so what happened next? And literally the answer is, well, nothing. And it's like, well, then what do you expect is going to happen next time?
And I think a lot of that doing nothing about it comes from lack of skills.
Oh,
It comes
100%.
from the fact that most of us, and again, this was me, don't have the communication skills, don't have the frameworks, don't have the mindsets to tackle these. I mean, nowadays, I'm much better at setting boundaries. I'm much better at setting expectations. So then it's much easier to enforce the boundaries because the expectation's been set. I have the communication patterns, the talking points on how to bring this stuff up. But I think what may happen, and this happened to me too, is I ignore it, and then I either become super reactive, where that causes an even worse problem, or when I do tackle it, I don't tackle it in a tactful way. And so it gets even worse. And then you think, well, gosh, I shouldn't have even said anything anyways, because it just got worse. But now, having the awareness that I have after being on this journey for 7 years, I just realized I didn't have the skills.
And we titled this, "Are You Part of the Problem?" And so, I've told this story before. The follow through and the sticking to your own word is so critically important. I've told this story before in other episodes about a specialist client I had when I was relatively new to coaching, and they had a protocol in their office that, as the specialist went from one room to the next, the team was supposed to use specific templates to put in the chart documentation into the terminal that was there. And the office was set up so that those terminals were not necessarily in the operatory, but right outside, if I remember correctly. And he was like, "They're not doing it." I was like, "Well, what's the protocol?" "Well, we trained that it's got to be done between patients." I said, "Great. So what's going to happen tomorrow is you're going to stand there until it's done." "Well, they're going to tell me I have to go see the next patient. They'll get to it later." And I said, "Have they?" And his answer was no. And so that's kind of an extreme example, and it would
Yes.
not be very easy. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm flippant about this, because this was a really big deal. It took a lot of courage. There was a lot of fear associated with it. But take a guess how many times he had to do that. Take a guess.
Once.
Twice. That was it. That was it. And it
Yeah.
never happened again.
Well, it's something that comes from feedback. I think we need to set expectations on how we want people to behave in the practice. So that starts with us. Yes, there are toxic people, and we've all had them, as anywhere from dental school classmates to coworkers to employees to cousins and spouses or whatever. But a lot of this in the dental world, if you are an owner, and even if you're not an owner, even if you're a leader in the practice, which if you're a front office team member, if you're a hygienist, if you're an associate, you are a leader, comes from the top down. So from the top down has to set the expectation. Now, great, you've set the expectation. They know what they're supposed to do. Now, the next thing is not micromanaging, but having check-ins. So, every week, bring me the report that I'm supposed to have, right? And if they don't bring you the report, then you have to do something about it, right? You have to have the conversation. Maybe this is a crucial conversation. You have to have, maybe even some discipline of some type. But otherwise, there's no feedback. And if you do that enough times, it becomes regimented, it becomes their normal, and then it just happens.
Well, and you use the term expectations. Like you set the expectations. And my first thought in my head was, okay, how'd you do that? How is it communicated? Is it documented? Is it part of an employee handbook, et cetera? Because just because you think you shared with somebody that the sky's blue doesn't mean that they heard you. And so we've talked about on other episodes, Google's Project Aristotle, and you can I'm trying to remember which episode that was, but Google did some research with thousands of employees. It was over 100 teams they followed for over a year. And one of the biggest findings of this study was that structure and clarity were the two biggest variables in overall team support performance. So there's got to be structure to our SOPs. We have to have the SOPs documented. And in many cases, I've seen practices who don't have this already work with the team members that are responsible for the execution of those SOPs to create them with guidance so that there's ownership there so that they can't turn to you and say, "Well, I didn't know that." Well, you're the one that wrote it. How do you not know
Well,
that?
that's one of the great things about having small businesses.
Yeah.
Most dental practices, even if you have three doctors, is not going to be more than 25, 30 people, right? I mean, at most, right? Most people have less than 10 people in their practice, I would say, if you're a single owner. And this is one of the great things that we have about having small businesses, is that you can
Absolutely.
have these people take ownership. Like, we did something a long time ago, and I learned this from Scott Luna, which is we had each member of the team write down everything they do in a day. Like, very, very basic, from mopping the floor to unlocking the back door to, I mean, like, everything. And then we figured out, how many times do you do it a day? Or is it a weekly thing? Or is it a monthly thing? And then we created a giant checklist. And they created it, and they knew exactly what they were going to be responsible for. And then it becomes something where, as a manager, hopefully when you're not doing dentistry, hopefully this is a time when you're at a separate managerial time, you can go to those checklists. And now let's
Absolutely.
say it's a monthly thing, and I can't remember. With sterilizers, and this is something that our team does, they do it weekly or monthly when they check the spore test. I can't remember how often it is, but let's say it's a monthly check-in, and you go look in the last 2 months, nothing's there. Well, then it's easy to know who's doing it, how often are they supposed to do it, and it's something you can check in. So you can kind of manage at a high level, but still be fairly granular on things. Or let's say you look at something and it's dirty on the floor in the corner and there's dust bunnies, and you say, oh, well, who's supposed to be sweeping the floors, right? Oh, it's this person. Well, you checked it off here. Are you actually doing that? And you can have these conversations. So it's allowing the team to create their own future, verifying that it's clear and easy for them to understand what's responsible for them, and then just enforcing them.
Well, and let's not forget, Dr. co-founder of an AI company, that AI is your friend. So you literally, I, because this is where my mind was going. So let's say you have a team member and they're writing everything down that they do. And let's say you're doing it, even if it's handwritten, folks. Did you know that? You can write it all down, even if it's handwritten. And let's say it's, mop the floor and that's weekly or whatever the cadence is. You can literally, if it's a spreadsheet, dump that in. If it's a photo, you can dump that in and then say, act as a dental management or leadership expert. We need to create a standard operating procedures document. Please follow these categories and cadences, utilize what has been provided and create, three SOPs for X, Y, and Z. Boom. And is it going to be perfect? No. But are you going to be literally hours, if not days, ahead of
Yeah,
time?
80% ahead.
100%. 100%.
But let's give some examples, because this idea of toxic team culture, I feel like tends to start from individuals, doesn't have, like, all of a sudden everybody's toxic, right? In my opinion, and in my experience, I guess, maybe not even my opinion, in my experience, it's been someone comes into the team, that person does things that are quote unquote toxic. You know, some examples would be they're snarky with this person, they never say good morning to me, they are always late. They steal people's lunches out of the refrigerator. I mean, these are just some examples. How do you handle that? Because you come into practices when a lot of this is happening.
It's really, I mean, I fall back on the crucial conversations framework every single time. Every single time. And you know, if you're unfamiliar with it, that's the title of a book. It's a research-backed methodology. And I think one of the very most important things is the authors describe the idea that it should only be deployed when you're looking to bring the relationship forward. When you are in this situation, like you just described, where it's a relatively new person on the team, I'm making a slight assumption that other than this, you know, if we could get this rectified, we would want to continue the relationship. And so,
Right. Yeah. Let's say they're a good assistant. You
So
know, they're,
that's a really important nuance, right? And so you've got to be, you basically got to follow the framework. And, you know, I go through this in my online course. You can read the book. But the
We
point
go through it in
is
our live course, which
yeah,
is
that's true too.
coming up on
August
August
8th
8th and 9th in
and
Southern
9th.
California. So go to wellnessanddentistry.com, go to our links, and make sure to click on that.
Because the framework will set you free and you have to stick with the facts, particularly when it's, you know, a first or a second incidence of being late or being snarky. Give me an example of some kind of snarky comment because my mind just went blank.
Well, I think what I've heard a lot is not even a snarky comment, but like he or she is just like she never talks to me. She kind of turns her nose at me or like goes, ugh, when I ask her to clean up her room, you know, something like that.
So if it's the audible, you know, reaction, we talk about this in Lightside Live that even subjective expressions can be described objectively. And so I certainly wouldn't attempt to imitate that person, but I would say, you know, Susie, 3 times last week when I asked you to clean up this room, there was an audible expression that you made, kind of like a sigh, and then you turned your head away. Now, listen, I don't want you to think for a minute, I don't value what it is you do. And I think you're really, really great assistant. And at the same time, not but, this is something we need to address. So I'm looking for your point of view on this situation. From my perspective, when I have a team member that's been with me a couple months and when I ask them to clean up the room and I get this audible sigh 3 times in a row, it makes me wonder what's going on. Like, I'm telling myself all kinds of stories. You know, are you frustrated with your position? Do you not want to do it? Do you wish you didn't have to do it? Like, what's going on? And that kind of openness, and I've just followed the framework, can lead to a conversation that's going to tell you very quickly whether that person needs to stay or not. Because again, not everybody needs to be there. And easier said than done, and easy for me to say. But again, we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to put up with on a daily basis from these types of behaviors? It's an incredibly important question.
Yeah, it's that idea that many times humans don't change until they have to. And there's a story that there's this guy walking on the street and he sees this dog sitting next to this man, and the dog is whimpering. It's like, the guy says, "Oh, you know, what's up with your dog? Why is it whimpering like this?" And the owner goes, "Oh, he's sitting on a nail." He goes, "Oh, well, why doesn't he move?" And he said, "Well, it doesn't hurt enough." And it's like so many times that's how we are as leaders. That's how we are as people looking into our mental health or our physical health is we don't move, we don't change unless we have to. And that's not a great position to be in. You don't want to wait until you absolutely have to. Like, for example, in this case, you have this toxic team member and you have someone else that comes and says, you know, if you don't fire Julie, then like me and the other girls said that we're gonna leave. Right.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
then you're like, oh boy, right?
Yeah.
So how do you think about this when it's one team member that starts affecting all the other team members? Because I feel, again, in my experience, that's how a lot of things come to my attention. Now, that
Yeah.
may have been just because I was a low-level leader at that time,
Yeah.
but that was how a lot of things came to my attention is he or she is doing this, isn't doing this, and all the rest of us, it bothers us because
Yes.
we're doing what
Yeah.
we're supposed to do and they're not.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with making sure that the source is credible, number one. I think
Okay.
that's an important thing. I
Going
think
back to
number
facts.
yeah, I think number two, if a team member comes to you and says, Susie never does anything and I think she hates me. Well, those are all subjective.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're wrong, but I mean, for me, I think I would handle it, particularly today, something effective. Okay, so first of all, thank you for coming to me because I really appreciate you're looking to make this place a better place to work. And so in order for me to really address this, I need some more specifics. What is the actual behavior? And how is that not in line with standard protocols, standard operating procedures, expectations, et cetera? Like, what is it? So we've got to really come down to what's actually happening because, my favorite question, how true is
How true is
that?
that?
That, that may be a question that you're going to have to ask the team member that came to you, which is, Susie just hates me. Well, how true is that? Well, what is she doing that is causing you to come to this conclusion?
We do this in our live course where we ask the participants to get down to the facts because even
Yeah.
when we're doing our Crucial Conversations exercise in our
Yeah.
live CE course, some people come and they're still not really bringing facts. And I've
Yeah.
seen you do this to where you're like, well, what exactly are they doing? Or how is that going against what they should be doing? And
Yeah.
really what you're
Yeah.
trying to do is get down to those facts. And
Yeah.
that is so important. And I've realized that so much after working with you for so many years is just how I interpret things, even
Yeah.
with, my children or colleagues or things that I'm working with. It's like, let's get down to the facts. And
Yeah.
that should really resonate with dental professionals that are listening because we like facts. We like
Yeah.
research. We
Yeah.
like proof. We say, well, how do I bond to Denton? Show me the proof, right? And of
Yeah.
course, now we have it, and that's why we do bond to Denton very well. But we love to have facts. And so
Yes.
take our analytical, science-based minds and apply those to communication patterns,
Yeah.
and we can actually
So,
become better leaders.
and so, going back to this conversation with the person bringing it to your attention, I think the coach in me would then go to something like, okay, so if this behavior didn't exist, how would things be different? And what would this individual need to do? Sometimes that'll be an obvious answer, but what would this individual need to do so that you wouldn't feel that this isn't being done? Now, in certain cases, it may be doing the actual task. So in
Right.
some cases,
Cleaning the chair, for
it
example.
may be very cut and dry, but not always, because we know, anybody listening to this, if you've worked with team for any length of time, you have been approached by a subject, what I like to call a subjective complaint. And it's not a criticism, it's just something that you want to have rectified that you're describing in a subjective manner. And subjective things are not as addressable as objective realities and objective descriptors.
Say that one more time for me.
So subjective descriptions
Yeah.
cannot be addressed as effectively as objective data and/or objective description of the subjective behavior.
Yeah. Do you think that we as managers need to experience the data or the fact?
That's a really hard one. And so
Because
that's
we can't
kind
be
of,
everywhere,
we
right?
can't be everywhere. And that's where things can get really sticky, right? So that is really why I started to answer your question the way I did, which was you got to get down to the facts. You got to get down to the objective element of it, because if we can, then therefore there should, in many cases, be some type of objective proof of that behavior. So that's the intention there. Because, I mean, think about it. What, how would you feel if somebody came up to you and says, you know, our other assistant Susie thinks you hate her? Like, what? That, how effective is that going to be? Like,
You know,
it's, you
and
know.
it's funny, I've heard that before. I've heard that.
Of course you have. Now it would be so let's flip this. It's like, hey, you know, I want to talk to you about something. You know, we have members of our team that feel that there's some differences in how they are being interacted with, and I want to talk to you about it. So these observations have been manifested in, you know, when you come in, you're very chatty with Kathy and you're engaging and you're asking questions back and forth. And then when it comes to other members of the team, that isn't happening. So look, I don't want you to think for a minute that this is some kind of, you know, hand slap discussion or that we're not really thrilled with, you know, the work you're doing. While at the same time, you know, this is creating a level of challenge in our team. So I want to talk to you about it. You know, from my perspective, if anybody on the team, including you, started to observe being treated differently over and over and over again, I mean, it would make me pause. And so what do you think's going on? And you know, in those kind of situations, oftentimes, because, and I know you've experienced this even without having any specific stories in my head, oftentimes it's like, well, I don't ask her because I don't think she likes talking to me. Or, you know what I mean? And it's like, or he. And it's like, wait a minute, what gave you that idea? And so it ends up being this result of assumption on the, you know, it's, you know, we could go round robin, but it's transparency builds trust. And if we're not talking about it, it's never going to get rectified anyway.
Well, I think with this idea of the topic of today, toxic team culture, are you part of the problem? I think one of the biggest things that I never did was encourage a culture where we can have these discussions without big emotions. Because my biggest problem as a leader, especially when I was in burnout, was I was very reactive. And so I put things off until I blew up, and then that didn't help anybody because I was even I then I was snarky or I was whatever. Now, a lot of that was because I wasn't taking care of myself physically, and you know, I wasn't in the right headspace, and I didn't have the right identity and purpose in life, and you know, that's deep into what we talk about in Lightside Live. But I think I was listening to this podcast the other day, and I can't remember who it was. I think I wrote it down, but they were talking about how in their business that they have, and I'm pretty sure they had a big business, they had created this openness to where people almost got excited when there was a problem. Because they were like, oh, great. Because like the last time we had a problem, we figured out what it was and we fixed it and everybody was happy. And so this person, it was a man, so he was saying how he encourages his team to bring him challenges because then they can solve them and create this great team culture. And he was saying he had created this team culture where people were encouraged to bring problems because they knew they could bring it in a safe manner, right? And that, if you can create that, it's like with your children. You know, you tell your kids like, hey, you know, you're going to this party. No matter what happens at the party, if you need help, you need me to come pick you up. You tell me I come pick you up, you will not be in trouble, right? And think of the trust that you can build because of that. And I
Now
think it's
you
just,
got to stick to that though,
well, of
right?
course, of course. And I said that because this happened the other day where my wife said, like, you know, hey, Valco, can like tell me what happened? You won't be in trouble. Or he was saying something like, I really want to say something, but I know I'm gonna get in trouble. He was really frustrated with something. And we said, no, but what is it? You can tell us and you won't be in trouble. And he said, like, I think daddy was being an idiot about that. And I was like, oh gosh, I really want to get him in trouble right now, right? But no, we had to stick to it. And hopefully we built some trust that way. But think if you can do that in your business.
Well, you know, it goes back to the idea of, oh my gosh, we have a problem versus, holy smokes, we have an opportunity to make this better.
That's just a mindset.
It's just a mindset. It's a verbiage. It's something we can train ourselves to do. I mean, look, when I work with dental practices as part of my overall, coaching interaction with them, I'm working with the doc for a couple months, and then I come in and I work with the team. And so we have a backbone and a background of this mindset stuff. But then when we work with the team, we actually create an alliance. And it
I
becomes
love
a
that so much.
Written document of what kind of place we want to show up to every day, how we want to show up when there are challenges, and how we're going to keep each other accountable, all of us, doctor down, right? And so this document that we facilitate as part of the in-person experience then gets to be where it becomes your safe zone, where you have a safe word. Most practices pick pineapple, don't ask me why. When things get squirrely, now all of a sudden we've talked about how we're going to handle this already by engaging our alliance, and we're going to go pineapple. And then the other party's going to say, "What's up? What's wrong? What's happening? Well, I feel really threatened right now, or I feel like I'm not being listened to." And, because we said we want an open, transparent environment where we're all listened to. Well, what's that about? What are we going to do? And I have example after example of practices that have now been able to work through conflict because they have something to go back to that we then reiterate on Zoom meetings after I'm already there, et cetera. And so this is possible, but it's like we said in the title of this episode itself, are you part of the problem or are you choosing to be part of the solution? It's up to
Yeah,
you.
I love this alliance that you do. I see it as setting the expectation on how we're going to solve conflicts in the future. And think about how powerful that is in any relationship, you know, with your team, with your neighbors, with your spouse. I mean, imagine coming to your patients and saying, hey, listen, you know, if you and I ever have a disagreement, this is how we're going to, or this is how I think we should resolve this. That sound good to you? That sounds good to you? Cool. Okay, yeah, let's do that. It's like, you know, from the legal side, I think about it as like an arbitration agreement. Both sides agree, hey, we're not going to sue each other, right? We're going to go to arbitration. We'll figure something out there, right? And it's funny. It's just you have to put in that work at the beginning. But I've know the stories of many of the practices that you've gone out and coached because a lot of them are actually LightSide members too. And how amazing it is to be in a team where a doctor pays someone like Martin to come out and establish this. Because one of the things that you say in your, what do you call it, alliance, in your alliance is like, listen, guys, everybody wants to work in a great place, right? Can everybody agree to that? We all want to do great patient care. Is that right? We all want to come in and look forward to being here and work with people that we want to engage with and that push us and that inspire us. Okay, great. That's what we're all on the same page. Everybody wants the same thing. Now,
And
let's agree that if one of us is out of line, that we can come to them in a calm manner, talk to them about it, and we can resolve it, right?
Well, and do you know how many times we end up having some really powerful conversations in the creation of this alliance? Because you'll have a team member that's transparent, they'll pipe up and they'll be like, "Well, this is really, really great, but when you do this, or when you say this, or when you're in a bad mood, I feel like I can't do it." It's like, okay, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about this situation. What do you notice when you feel that your teammate or doctor is in that place? What are you observing? Great. And we have this conversation about it. It's not putting anybody on the spot. We're having a conversation about how we can interact with each other differently, because what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? And I mean, look, I do think that part of the magic of those conversations is, frankly, the way I handle them. And the reason, what I mean by that is, it's okay. Like, let's just talk about it. This isn't punitive. There's a reason why I'm here. And so let's talk about how we're going to move forward, because the intention of this is a good to great conversation, not a one day long thing and then we're going to forget everything. That's not the intention, right?
As leaders, we need to be okay with taking feedback too. I was not. I was one of these people where, like, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm the owner, you're the employee. And, there's sometimes when that is valid for certain things. But in general, I thought my shit didn't stink, that I could do nothing wrong. And in the place where I'm at now in my life, I'm not going to sit and tell you that it's easy to take feedback, but I will tell you it's a lot easier than it was. I'm a lot better than I was. And I would argue that this is a practiced skill.
Yeah, 100%.
This is a skill that you have to get better at. And great leaders can take good feedback. I know a lot of times when one specific leader that I'm thinking of, whenever he was giving negative feedback to somebody, he would always ask for anything he could do better. And he would say, I'm totally open if there's anything that I can improve on. And I've been in meetings with him where people would say stuff like, oh, well, in that case, yeah, like I don't like when you do this. And he would say, okay, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And take it, right? And so some of that is just the self-awareness of your reactivity. It's living between the stimulus and the response. Again, something we teach in our life course. And that is a practice skill.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, we can't expect to facilitate change overnight and, snap our fingers and expect our own behaviors and communication styles to change immediately. I mean, they've been honed over a number of years, in some cases, depending who you are, decades.
Decades, yeah.
And so, Rome wasn't built in a day. I say this to dentist groups. Well, I say it's all dental team, but if I'm talking to only dentists, I usually say, how long did it take you to prep your first crown? How long does it take you now? Why are you so more efficient? Well, because of repetition. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So we need to give ourselves grace, but not an excuse, something I say all the time, relative to moving ourselves forward in communication, accountability, leadership, et cetera. And it's not easy, particularly if we start having these emotionally charged conversations with somebody that is toxic. And, I gotta say, one of the biggest laughs I get, whether it's a workshop or a keynote, is when I say, I firmly believe in my soul that 99.999% of people do not get in their car in the morning, turn the car on, and say to themselves, I'm gonna be an asshole today. I don't believe people do that, 99% of them. And so if you don't believe, and usually this is the case, if you don't believe that your team members would do that, then we have a place to start from. If you think they do, that's another conversation entirely. Because, not every practice is for everybody, not every relationship's for everybody, not every friendship's for everybody. We all want to be liked, but we don't like everybody ourselves. So why is there this double standard?
Well, this has been I think a really good topic. It's one of the biggest complaints that we hear from team members, from owners, from associates, from front office managers, is this toxic team culture. And when I think about what we talked about today, I really think about starting from the top. I think it has to come from the leader. I think the leader needs to be in a good headspace to start this. I think them working on themselves is probably the first place to start, because having these conversations, enforcing this, setting these expectations, working with boundaries, you have to be good at that to lead with these topics. So I would say if you're a leader listening to this, start with yourself. Once you're in a good place, then start working on your team. And we've seen this happen before. People that work on themselves, then they work on their team, and then they love coming into work.
Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
wild how that
dentistry can be
happens.
so rewarding. We can help so many people. We can make good money. We can, be respected and like our colleagues that we work with. But it can also be horrible if you have toxic team culture, if you do not like the people you work with. So take the time, the money, the effort, and put this into learning some of these skills. Martin and I aren't the only people that teach this. We think what we do is pretty good, but there's other people that teach this too. And put yourself into get some more knowledge on this topic, and it will help in retaining your team members. It will help in making in growing your business, frankly, making more money. And I think most of all that Martin and I care about is protecting your mental health and allowing you to have this sustainable success in dentistry where you can do this for decades at a time and not get burnt out.
Amen.
So if you want to learn more from Martin and I in person, come on August 8th and 9th in Irvine, California. You are 20 minutes from Disneyland, 20 minutes from the best beaches on the West Coast. It's going to be beautiful in August. And we'd love to see you. People asked for a summer date, so we got GlideWell to allow us to host another event at their dental lab in Irvine, California. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on links, and you'll see the link to Lightside Live, which is our 2-day CE course. We will see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Bye, guys.
See ya.